Lizette, thank you very much. It's lovely to be back. I really have missed you. And during my sabbatical, I took the month of July off every Wednesday morning, wherever I was, whether it was Scotland or Cambridge or London or Bristol, I thought of you and wondered. I've listened to one or two of the talks online. I haven't completed them all yet, but I did want to hear how things were. Just to say, I had a really good break, and we went up to the Peak District for a few days, went up to Ayrshire, if anyone knows Ayrshire, went to the Isle of Bute, went to Glasgow, and the Clyde Estuary as well, went to Ayr as well, and then we came back. I've had a weekend in Cambridge, I've been to London for a few days, and now I'm back, and I feel as if I have never been away. I had so many emails to come back to and things to deal with. So it's great to see you all again. My father-in-law, just to say, was taken into the BRI with a swallowing problem, so I've also had the additional thing this last month of visiting him. So do remember Bert. He comes from Devon, and we're hoping in the next week to arrange a suitable place for him to go to when he leaves the BRI. So, Psalm 124. It feels weird. This whole new series has started and I wasn't around, but you know more than me. We're looking at the Psalms of the Ascents. This is a collection of songs and hymns that the pilgrims used to sing together when they were going up to Jerusalem. Now, I don't know if you've heard of Isaac Watts. He's often called the father of English hymns. He was the hymn writer who wrote Once in Royal David's City and When I Survey the Wondrous Cross and so on. And he set this psalm, 124, to a poem, a metrical paraphrase. Had not the Lord, may Israel say, had not the Lord maintained our side when men to make our lives a prey rose like the swelling of the tide. And he rewrote Psalm 124, and he called it a song for the 5th of November. A song for the 5th of November, Isaac Watts called it. I don't know if anyone has any guesses why on earth he'd call that psalm that title. 5th of November, Guy Fawkes Day. When he wrote it, it was the 100-year anniversary of the gunpowder plot of Guy Fawkes, and he wanted to give thanks for God's deliverance of Parliament from Guy Fawkes plotting to blow it up. And so he called this psalm, which is all about deliverance from danger, he called it a song for the 5th of November. So the pilgrims are walking up to Jerusalem to one of their festivals. They're marching along, they're singing together. And when people are in a group together marching along, often they'll sing as they go along. Don't know if any of you can remember, for me it's before my time, but in the Second World War, I've seen this in war films, you see pictures of soldiers singing, "It's a long way to Tipperary." There's something about a comfort in singing as you walk along together. And this is what this collection of psalms is. They're things that people would sing as they were walking along together. There's something about communal singing that's important. We remind each other as we sing. We remind each other that God is good. We remind each other when we sing, God saves, God rescues. So this little psalm, it's only 8 verses long, is a testimony to God's help in times of peril. There's an awareness that deliverance comes from the Lord. Let's express thanks and praise to him. The Lord helped us. We had a narrow escape. Let's give credit to the Lord. So do follow it. It's printed on the notice sheets, the sheets in front of you. So if we start off, verse 1, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attack us. David wrote this. As I said, it was a song, and I think of it as like the first verse, like the choir leader would sing, if the Lord had not been on our side. And then the second verse is repeated, all the people joined in, if the Lord had not been on our side. Do you remember in Romans 8:31, it says, what then shall we say in response to these things if God is for us. Who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's a famous verse that St. Paul wrote in Romans 8. If God had not been on our side. There are two sides, being with God and being without God. Israel were God's special people. God was on their side. But since Jesus came, that special relationship of being on God's side is open to all who believe in Jesus. Are we on the Lord's side? Is God on our side? I find it very easy to assume that everything I do, God must be on my side. It's quite good to check yourself occasionally to think, well, am I actually walking where God wants me to walk? Am I walking step by step with him on the same side? But if God is for us, then who can be against us? Can I just say here that in this short psalm, I don't have the time this morning to talk about the question of suffering, but I am aware of that. So I will be talking about deliverance from danger, but at this moment, there's not the time to go into that topic further. But it talks about four deadly dangers. So if we start with verse 3, we've got these four deadly dangers mentioned, and the group of pilgrims are saying to each other, do you remember that? We were delivered. Do you remember that? And they show the magnitude of the threats against the people of Israel, but just how great is God's deliverance. Many years ago, when I used to teach geography, we had a section called Natural Hazards, and the children actually quite liked that, and we quite liked teaching it. So we teach about volcanoes and earthquakes and floods and disaster and lava flows, and they actually quite enjoyed that bit, hurricanes and cyclones. There's a list here of those dangers that we face, and the first one, verse 3, they would have swallowed us alive. When earthquakes happen, the earth cracks open and things can get swallowed up. In our lives, we expect the ground beneath us to be firm, don't we? We expect our foundation to be firm and it's not going to crack open. It's solid. But have you ever experienced either an earthquake in real life? But more than that, have you ever experienced having the very foundations, the things you stand on, shaken, and you feel, I'm getting swallowed up? David, the psalmist, knew what that was like. The only true, solid rock on which we stand is Jesus. It's that lovely hymn, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Our foundations can be rocked. We can feel we're being swallowed up. And yet, the Lord saves. Second hazard happens in verse 4 and 5. It's talking about floods. The floods would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The waters would have swept us away. This was very topical because when I was writing this, the Whaley Bridge incident was very much in the news. Just to say, the first lot of people have been allowed back, and they're hoping today that the rest of the inhabitants will be allowed back and that dam will not collapse. But we know what a flood is like. It comes and destroys things. More and more rain, and the waters rise and rise until you feel you're drowning and it's hard to keep your head up. Floods can just sweep us away. Have you ever experienced in your life when dangers come and they like build up like a flood more and more and you're like drowning? How can I keep my head? I was reminded in the Song of Solomon's chapter 8, there's a lovely, lovely verse. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. The love of God cannot be swept away. So Jesus is even better than that clay dam at Whaley Bridge. He's better at protecting us from the floods. His love is not quenched. His love is not washed away. So let's pray for those who are facing floods in their life, who feel, I'm just drowning in problems, that they know the love of God cannot be quenched, cannot be swept away. If we go on to verse 6, praise be to the Lord, he's not let us be torn by their teeth. So I was trying to work out whose teeth are thee. They reckon it could be a mythical monster. It's more likely a wild beast. We know David faced lions and bears. And when you think about the fangs or the teeth, we think about dangers that suddenly bite us and tear us. And David is praising God for protection. People can bite us sometimes. Sharp comments can try and tear at us. But God can protect us from actually being torn from those bites. Praise be to the Lord, the psalmist says, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We pray for protection from those facing wild beasts in whatever form they are. And then the fourth danger, we have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare, a trap. The trap, the snare has been broken, and we have escaped. So fowlers, bird catchers, deliberately set a trap in order to entrap a bird to eat it. And yet the psalmist says, but we have escaped. And not just escaped, but the actual trap, the actual snare was broken. The danger was destroyed. People can be trapped, can't they? We can be trapped by events that have happened, by poverty, by oppression, trapped literally in prisons or extorted. We must pray for those who particularly feel trapped at the moment, maybe those persecuted or sitting in prison cells, but it may be people trapped by other things. So the Israelites faced those dangers. They faced earthquakes, when the ground swallows you up, when your very foundations are shaken. They faced floods when they just felt overwhelmed by rising waters. They faced the teeth of wild beasts when something tries to bite you. And then they've also faced escape from deliberate traps set out to catch you. The psalmist doesn't say the danger won't happen to people on God's side. He's saying the troubles do happen, but God saves. Troubles still happen, even to God's people, but God rescued them. And so it finished with that wonderful verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help comes from God. God is sovereign. God is gracious. Yahweh, Jesus, he saves. Who is he, the maker of heaven and earth? And if God really is the creator, who we believe he is, who made the whole world, of course he can rescue us from danger. So thank him. There's something about remembering to thank him for our deliverance, counting our blessings. Remember the times he has saved us from danger, from peril. In the Second World War, I was told that the churches were full of people. When the whole country was in danger, the churches were full of people praying for deliverance. And God did deliver this country. But how much did all those people still thank God and praise God for the rescue afterwards when deliverance was granted. So let's be like these pilgrims as they sing together. Let's remind each other of what God has done. Tell each other stories. This happened. God delivered me from this danger. I was in peril. I prayed. God saved me. There's something really important about sharing stories of God delivering us. So let's finish now by just remembering over our lives. Let's think about those times when we've faced danger. Sometimes we know about the dangers we escaped, like that speeding car or that cliff, whatever it was. And let's thank God now for the times he has saved us. And let's remember to tell others about his deliverance. And let's finally pray for those in danger at the moment. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen.